because I always seem to have a problem with that. Just want to be sure. All right, the British have a saying, the truth will out. What it really means is the evidence will be presented and the truth will be known and become common knowledge. I say this a lot lately because there is a lot of untruth in today's world, as many of us have seen. It all began in one place shortly after the creation of man. I can't get this to forward. Awesome. I don't know what that was. Oh, too far. There we go. Two people in a garden. How long was it before Satan came to Eve and told her the first lie that mankind believed? You will surely not die. The Father told us that if we eat of this tree, we will die. God Almighty, our Creator, and we listen to this thing that came up and whispered into our ear. It's pure evidence. Whoa. It's pure evidence that we are entirely a gullible species. Don't know if God built that into us on purpose or if it's our own fault. But the first interaction with the devil was him lying to us in an effort to destroy us. And he did succeed, for death takes us all. Now, fast forward a few, I don't know how long it took them, they lived a very long time, but, you know, we'll say a few years. And you've got four people that are alive on the earth. Adam, Eve, Cain, and Abel. And we know the story about Cain and Abel. He's jealous of the favor that his brother receives. And in a fit of rage, kills his own brother. We know that. He's a murderer. The first there ever was. But God came to him. The perfect being standing before him and said, where's your brother and what did he do? He told God, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? Genesis 4. Then the Lord God said to Cain, where is your brother Abel? I don't know, he replied. Am I my brother's keeper? Second thing he did in the face of God is lie. We got really good at it really fast. There's only four people on the planet. It's got to be in us somewhere. I'm sorry this is difficult to read. It's a little small. But so it's passed down generation to generation. We learned how to lie early. As they call it, the sins of the father. It's passed down from generation to generation. We learn how to do it. It's easy to do. Kids learn how to lie at a very early age. Problem is that we're lied to so much. We don't even know what to believe anymore. People that don't know God, that don't know the truth of God, They can't even discern the truth from the lies. They perceive the truth as lies itself. You ever talk to a non-believer? You tell them the truth of God, the promises he has for us, the free gift, the love he has for us, the mercy. Oftentimes, they hear those things as lies because they see the world around us doesn't reflect that love, mercy, healing, and hope. That's not God's fault. It is our fault. Not in particular, just men in general. that we don't show the truth and the love enough to give people a basis in which to believe. The world shows us pain and suffering, lies and deceit, so often that we are so saturated with it that we can't tell the difference. Sorry. So, what do these people who don't believe do? They put their faith in ideas that people put forth that seem to fit with what they want on their inside. What they feel is comfortable, what is palatable to them. And they follow lies. But Satan is of this world. He walks all among us, and he looks for those who he can take and deceive. John 8:44, people were approaching Jesus, and they said they couldn't understand what he was trying to say to them. Parables, things of this sort. But he says, "You belong to the Father, your devil. And you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." The devil walks among us, spewing lies, teaching others how to lie and what to lie about. We have a great enemy, and he knows our weakness. Since the garden, we've fallen for his lies. Even seeing the face of God himself, we fell for lies. He knows his weapon is sharp, and he can use it against us effectively. And now through much practice and great skill, men have learned how to lie and led huge numbers of people astray with their lies. Even when those lies are exposed to the light and they crumble, we're still easily led to the left or the right. We neglect the straight ahead path which God tells us to stay on. In Proverbs 4:27, do not turn to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. Follow the straight path that lies in front of us, the path set for us before by God himself. But do we always do that? Do we always follow him? Do we always do the right thing? We believe the lies because we want so badly for something to happen, some sign from God, some miracle to come down upon us, that we blindly follow those who would lead us in a direction that their will dictates. Now, if we all did that yesterday, we would have been struck by an asteroid and all be gone. If any of you read the news and the media, it was a big deal for the last few days about the world coming to an end yesterday. And a lot of people bought into this. And they lived in fear for a time, while rumors spread about. The internet's a wonderful tool, but it's also a deadly place. Fear is what drives us after we're lied to. Because that's what the devil does to us. He lies to us, causes us to fear, and we lose our way. We lose our hope, and we move on into more lies until we can't even discern where we are. Because lies have no other purpose but to hide the dark deeds of others. And they fear the light. But they use their lies to lift themselves up. I mean, everything we hear on the news, that we read on the internet, Facebook, whatever it is, I have a thought in my head every time I read something. I don't trust these people. I don't know them. I don't know that they have any right to tell me which way to go. But not everybody thinks that way. I've heard people panicking about something that's going on in some far-off land. I've listened to the news on the television. People we're supposed to trust, newscasters, telling us stories, opinions, as they turn out to be, about whatever it is that's going on in the day, that later on we find out been stretched. They've been cut and picked and cherry-picked for whatever they wanted us to believe. They push us in a direction that gets them ratings and clicks, keeps us in fear so we come back day after day, so that we rely on them for more lies, so that we can believe that we know what's going on, that we know what's happening. In 2 Timothy 4, 3 through 4 says, "For a time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn away to myths." So what do we believe when priests and preachers lead us astray and their lies are proven to be false? As an example, my brother and his wife go to a church in Texas. I won't tell you the name. I'm not into slandering. But this man who runs a church probably with a congregation larger than the population of Butler, mega church they call them, he has convinced the people who attend his church that he is infallible, that every word that comes from his mouth is directly from the mouth of God. Now, I have a problem with that. Because when you read the Bible, there is only one perfect man that ever existed, and he was half God. He was all God, and he was all man. And he doesn't live in Texas right now. This man sells his own idea of what God is and how you should follow him. My poor sister-in-law is so brainwashed into this. I call it a cult. It's a gigantic cult. But if you don't go to his church and you don't listen to what he says, you're all going to hell. And that's what he tells us. And obviously he thinks his word is infallible, so we know better. We know what to believe. We all should know what to believe. But sometimes it's hard to tell the difference. The truth is hard to hear sometimes. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's sweet, but most often it's inconvenient. The truth of what we have to do as a child of God is very inconvenient at times. Look where I'm standing. This is not where I pictured I'd be. This is not my wheelhouse. I don't feel comfortable up here. Every time I go to preach the word, I have one thought that echoes in my mind every time, that those who teach the word, who teach the people, will be judged more harshly when the end comes. If I teach you the falseness and lies, I'm going to pay for it, more so than anyone else that walks through those doors. And it scares me to death. I want to be sure that I know the truth, and then I'm teaching you the truth. I mostly stand up here and point out to you where this world is, so we don't turn a blind eye to it. So we don't pretend everything is okay and all right and everyone is going to heaven. I want you to know the truth. And like I said, we live in a world where the media is a huge den of liars. We can't trust anything we hear, read, someone tells us. We take news, fake news controversy that was on Facebook recently. Somebody realized that half the news on Facebook was fake. Somebody in their garage or their basement made up some slander about this person or that person, and they posted on Facebook. Now, that's all fine and good. It's perceived as a place of there's no accountability there. But the truth is, that one post by someone that is false, that leads people in the wrong direction, you're not going to be judged in the end by the post you made, but by the souls that you led astray by what you've posted. Just as gossiping, it's the same exact thing, just the digital version. You tell a lie about someone, and everyone who believes you and follows that lie has lost their path, and you led them that direction. Don't be that person that tells those stories, that spreads the news that you've heard that you're not sure about. I mean, just as an example, how deeply it pervades in our society today. Have you ever looked at the ingredients on your box of cereal in the morning? They use words that they know the common person doesn't understand. You know, the scientific names for whatever it is, because they know you don't understand. They lie to you. They put wholesome and all natural on the box, but in those list of ingredients, because you don't know what it is. They put low sugar, but you know what else they put in there? All these other forms of sugar with names you don't recognize. It's all a lie just to get you to buy what they want. It's everywhere. Everywhere you go, you can't watch television without seeing commercials trying to sell you things you don't need. All they want to do is lie to you enough to convince you to go the way they want you to go. So what do? Well, a lot of times we do follow those lies. But hopefully we realize that there are many lies. I'm not telling everybody anything they don't already know. At least, if you don't know, now you do. But in Proverbs 13:5, he says, "The righteous hate what is false, but the wicked make themselves a stench and bring shame on themselves." I'd like to think we're all righteous in here, that we're all saved by the grace of God, that we walk and we try to do the things that are right and speak the truth to all those around us so they'll understand and come to the knowledge of Christ so that they can be saved. But many are lost and they speak lies. And the scripture says it raises a stench, which I know it's a video clip of really hard to see, but it's a fun movie I had when I was a kid. I still have it. I bought it on DVD, Blu-ray. And when I was writing this little section here, I thought of this because this is how it works. To us, we are these three main characters that walk into a bog. It's called the bog of eternal stench. And that stench is what I consider to be the lies that are all around us. Everywhere we step, everywhere we walk, you can't escape it. It's everywhere. But those who don't know God don't see the stench. So I'm going to play this real quick here. Or I'm not. Go ahead, Dave. Would you hit play for me? I wasn't sure if the button would work for that.
Speak of that.
No.
I said nothing.
This popped into my head immediately when I was writing this, because we can smell and perceive the lies that are all around us. But those around us who don't know the truth, do not have the truth in them, to them this is every day. This is normal. They've gone nose blind to it. What was that, Febreze, I think, had that? They've gone nose blind. The big giant cat litter thing in the corner. But they don't realize how far off the path they've gotten. They may not even realize there is a path to walk. But we don't want to be led down those paths. We don't want to believe the lies. Many of them are far more subtle than the ones you see every day. Little things like you can't do this unless you've done this, or you wouldn't believe what you start realizing as you go through your life looking for the lies. But at the same time as you look for the lies, we should be looking for the truth. Who do we trust when we live in a world that's built on lies? Do you trust your neighbor? Do you trust your politicians? Do you trust your church leaders? Do they know the truth? I sure hope they do. I would hope they do, but what is the truth? Jesus answered us. He said, what's the truth? John 14:6 says, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to Father except through me. Okay, Jesus is the truth. That's good to know. At least I have something to shoot for. I have a light at the end of this path that I can walk towards. I have a destination to seeking the truth. In John 8:31-32, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Good, we have a destination, and we have a promise of what we will have when we get there. When we find the truth, we will be free. It is what he's promised us. It's a glorious thing. Because that's what we look for when we fall for the lies. We look for freedom. We look for a way out. We look for something to make us feel. Jesus has promised us that 2,000 years ago. Why don't more people know? Because the devil lies. He goes about spewing lies everywhere. And those who are afraid of God or believe lies don't know that there is a destination. So we have to trust in the one who cannot lie, whose very nature is the light of truth. Our Lord. And while he was here, he often said, I tell you the truth. He proclaimed it as he taught his people. Psalms 25:5, even before Jesus came to the earth, guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. This is what we should call out to him when we don't know what to believe, when we don't know what is true and what is false, when fear starts to creep into our hearts, and we think that this Saturday might be the end of the world. Instead of running around like chickens with our heads cut off, hollering and worrying in vain, you should go to God and he'll explain it to you. He'll tell you a couple words, lots of words. It all depends on what he decides, but he'll comfort you and assure you what is true. In John 1:14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth, tells us there that the Word of God became flesh, became Jesus. Before that, we read that Jesus was the truth. So, by simple deduction, we come down to, well, if God's Word became Jesus, who is the truth, then the Word of God is the truth. And in every one of these pews sits the Word of God. Dictated through man, recorded for our learning and our use. The words of God in the Bible are truth. Every word in it is filled with His Spirit, and the Word will help you and guide you in the way of the truth and away from the lies. But what if you can't find the answer in the book? What if you can't get hold of one right now? Well, Jesus made a way of contacting him and finding the truth. I know I talk about the Spirit a lot, pretty much every time I'm up here. I know not everybody quite believes as much as I do, but I believe it's important. It's mentioned quite a lot in the Bible. And it is called the Spirit of Truth, the Spirit of God. It testifies the truth about Jesus. It lives inside of us, and it answers our questions before the world pushes us in the wrong direction. It will tell us the truth about Jesus. It will tell us the truth about God. You receive the Spirit by grace. It's given freely. You carry it inside you. John 15:26. When the Advocate comes, the Spirit of God, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. Jesus said the Spirit will come upon us, and he will testify inside of us. But I worry sometimes, is what the Spirit says to us on the inside strangled out and muffled by our flesh? What our earthly ears hear, is it louder than the Spirit, the still small voice inside of us? Does it overwhelm what we should believe with what others told us we should believe? First John 2:27 says, "As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him." This verse, he's talking to the Samaritans, where he heard that they had turned to God and believed in Jesus, that they have come to the way. But they had been baptized in Jesus' name, but they had not received the Spirit. Now, I believe the Bible's true, so it stands to reason that I have to believe that is true as well. We don't have to receive the Spirit to be saved. Accepting Jesus and proclaiming his name, just accepting the gift, saves us. But I tend to believe if we want to live as a powerful witness, as a storm for Christ, as the disciples did, Jesus told the disciples to wait in this room until that Spirit comes upon you. And then you will go out and spread my word throughout the world. It was when the Spirit came upon them that they went out and did great miracles, and huge numbers were turned in a day. Thousands and thousands with the Spirit of God inside of them. So they came to Samaria. And they laid hands on those people and prayed for them to receive the Spirit. They traveled great distance to people who were saved and who were believers to hand them the gift that the Father has given his people so that they could be more effective. Well, I'm sure the many of us who are here know the Spirit. It speaks to us. It lives in us. It guides us every single day. We've learned to listen to it and listen to it even when it's loud outside. On the inside, we look for that voice because we know it's there. When we write a sermon, he tells us what to write. He tells us where to go. He tells us how to proceed, how to speak, what to say. Because those things in life are difficult. They're hard to know what to say to people when you walk up on them and they're belligerent. They're anti everything you believe in. God can give you the words or the direction. Sometimes he'll tell you, don't go there. It's fine. He'll teach you what to do, how to pray. Those of us who sit and say, we're not very good at praying. You know, this person over here needs prayer. I feel like I should go pray for them, but I don't know how. My words are not eloquent. I can't do it. You don't need to. If you have God's Spirit in you, it's him that speaks. Your mumblings will do the words that God wills you. He teaches you what to say. All you have to do is step forth in faith and believe and trust him that the words that are in his Bible are the truth, where he says, you will do these things and greater still. Why are we not out doing them? Let's do them. Let's tell people the truth. Instead of spreading the lies and falling for the lies, let us tell the truth and spread the truth. And the truth, his name is Jesus. So I pray this may be a short sermon, but it's what I was led to preach about. I don't need to beat you over the head with books and over again. Short and sweet may be the thing to do. But I want to pray for everybody this morning before we go. If you would agree along with me, you know, I know some sermons, they have you repeat after them. I'm not going to do that because that's kind of like forcing you to do things. I don't like that. But I'm going to pray. And afterwards, we can all be dismissed and enjoy our scalding hot day in fall. Father, Holy God, we love you. We love your word. We cherish your truth. We wish to seek it out every day, every moment, to walk with you so the truth is always within us. Father, we ask that you send your Spirit down, even for those who already possess it, Father. Let it be a refreshing of your Spirit within us. Let it grow stronger. Send your Spirit down as you did to the apostles, so that we can walk boldly and proclaim your truth. Let the truth live within us. And let us follow your path straight and not to either side. Let us not be overwhelmed by the deluge of lies that follow us around as we go every day. Because you said as we approach the end times, lies and deceit will become more and more abundant. Now that we feel as though we walk in these end days, it's as if we are drowning in the lies. Send your Spirit into us all that we may know the truth and that we may remain in it all the days of our lives until you come and take us out of the darkness so that we can live in the eternal light of God forever. Pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.